Our scripture reading today is a passage from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 6, verses 30 through 44. Let us listen now for the word of the Lord. The apostles gathered around Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. And he said to them, "Come away to a deserted place all by yourselves and rest a while." For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure to even eat. And they went away in the boat to a deserted place by themselves. Now many saw them going and recognized them, and they hurried there on foot from all the towns and arrived ahead of them. As he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. When it grew late, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is now very late. Send them away so that they may go into the surrounding country and villages and buy something for themselves to eat." But he answered them, "You give them something to eat." They said to him, "Are we to go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give it to them to eat?" And he said to them, "How many loaves do you have? Go and see." When they had found out, they said, "Five and two fish." Then he ordered them to get all the people to sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties. Taking the five loaves and the two fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to his disciples to set before the people. And he divided the two fish among them, and they ate, and all were filled. And they took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces and of the fish. Those who had eaten the loaves numbered 5,000 men. This is the word of the Lord. Now, recently, I came across a list of the top 10 things that you'll never hear in church. I want to share this list with you, if you don't mind, okay? Number 10 on this list of things that you will never hear in church is, "Hey, it's my turn to sit in the front row." Number 9, "Pastor, I was so enthralled, I never noticed that your sermon went 25 minutes over." Number 8, "Personally, I find witnessing much more enjoyable than golf." Number 7, "Please, how long is the waiting list to serve on session?" Number 6, "I'll be the permanent nursery volunteer." Number 5, "Isn't it great to have the children running around the church making a joyful noise?" Yeah, sometimes. Number 4 on the top 10 list of things you won't hear in church, "I love it when we sing songs that I've never heard before." Number 3, "No, don't ask someone else. Let me do it." Number 2, "Pastor, we would very much like to send you to this Bible seminar that's in Hawaii." And number 1 on the top 10 list of things that you never hear in church is, "Nothing inspires me and strengthens my commitment like our annual stewardship drive." Yeah, well, I'm glad you laughed, because we always hear a few groans around stewardship time. And it seems to many folks like it's a necessary evil, you know? Like we wish that we didn't have to sully ourselves with this distasteful topic of money. But we do. Alas, we do. If we want to pay our bills, we do. If we want to do any ministry, then we do. If we want to do any mission, then we do. If we want to be the church, then we do. So let's talk about it. A pastor stood before her congregation and said to them, "My friends, I have some good news and some bad news for you. The good news is that the church has all the money it needs." And everyone cheered in great relief. And the pastor said, "And the bad news is that it's still in your wallets." Stewardship Sunday is one of those days when the church has the opportunity to really see clearly that the church does not consist of buildings or denominational logos or anything else as much as the church really is all of us. Look around you, please. The folks sitting beside you, in front of you, and behind you, when you think of church, this is what it is. The story that we read today from Mark's gospel is a very familiar favorite, the feeding of the 5,000. It's a story that appears in all four of the gospels, something that is noteworthy in itself. The notion of the abundance of God's provision is just so central to the gospel message. It's so crucial to our faith that each one of the gospel writers made sure to include it in their telling. In fact, Mark included it twice. He really did. We have the feeding of the 5,000 here, and a couple of chapters later, we have a feeding of the 4,000. It's like deja vu all over again. So here in this story today from chapter 6 of Mark, here's where we're at. Jesus and his disciples have been traveling and teaching, and their following has been growing. Now, shortly before this, Jesus has sent out his disciples to travel the countryside in pairs to spread the message far and wide, and they return to him feeling really high on their success. But Jesus sees that they need to be brought back to their center of gravity, and so he leads them to a boat so that they can go across the sea, find a quiet place, have some quiet time to themselves. But their quiet doesn't last for long. The hungry crowds, hungry for the message, follow them there, and they will not leave them alone. So the time they had in the boat, unfortunately, is going to be enough to refresh them as they went ashore and continued teaching these sheep in need of a shepherd. Well, the time grows late, and the disciples remind Jesus that he is going to need to let the people go so that they can find something to eat. Now, I suspect that the disciples are as thoughtful as they are because they themselves are tired and hungry. They want to get something to eat, too. But Jesus says to them something that's really kind of shocking. He says, "You give them something to eat." These people don't need to go away. Jesus tells them, "You feed them." Well, his disciples balk at this, as you might expect. There are thousands and thousands of people here. The text says that there were 5,000 men, so this would almost certainly mean that there were also thousands of women and children. Now, I have been to some large banquets, but never anything like that. These disciples do not have a clue as to how they are supposed to take care of thousands of people. They have never been asked to do something like this before, and they don't know how to begin. So Jesus sees this, and he helps them out. He says to them, "How much do you have? Go and see. Go and see. Take stock of your resources. Look in every corner and find out how much there is to work with. Go and see. And you will probably be surprised." Well, initially they found 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, but as they went about the process of feeding the crowd, it is quite clear that much more food became available. Now, the story doesn't tell us exactly where it came from and how it happened, but we know that much, much more food was found because many thousands of people were fed and satisfied. And there were 12 baskets of crumbs left over. Now, let's consider this miracle for a moment. We generally assume that Jesus created this abundance of food out of thin air because he's Jesus, right? But let's look at what else was going on. We should not ignore the fact that Jesus put this task in the hands of his disciples. If he was intending to produce tons of bread out of thin air, then why not just do it? Why enlist the disciples to take over the job? But if, on the other hand, he wanted to create a different kind of miracle, a miracle of generosity and compassion and trust, well, this was a way to do it. Jesus said to his disciples, "You are responsible for this. Now go and see what you have to work with. Go and see." A story has been told about Tony Campolo, a very well-known and highly regarded Baptist pastor and speaker and writer. And in this story, he was invited to speak at a Christian women's organization. There were about 300 women in attendance. And the president of this organization got up to make some opening remarks, during which she read aloud a letter that she had received from a missionary. The missionary had written to the organization about an emergency situation and said that they needed about $4,000 to address this problem. Now, everybody was very moved by the letter. And the president, after reading it, turned to Tony and said to him, "We need to pray that God will provide the resources to meet this need. Brother Campolo, will you please pray for us?" And Tony said no. He wasn't going to do that. Now, Tony Campolo was known for being blunt, even to the point of being offensive, as all good preachers need to be every now and then. But even knowing that about him, these women were shocked. The president said, "I beg your pardon." And he said, "I won't pray for that. I believe that God has already provided the resources and that all we need to do is give. Here's what I will do. I'm going to step up to this table and give every bit of cash I have in my pockets. And if you all do the same thing, well, I think we're going to see that God has already provided the resources." Well, the president laughed and said, "Okay, I think we get the point. You want to teach us that we should give sacrificially." But Tony said, "No, I'm trying to teach you that God has already provided for this missionary. All we need to do is give it." Well, he had $15 on him in cash, and so he put that down on the table and deliberately looked at the president. Hesitantly, she opened her purse and she took out the $40 that she had inside and she placed that on the table as well. And then, one by one, the women in the room all came up and they put their money on the table. And when the money was all counted, there was more than $4,000. And Tony said, "God, who always supplies our needs, had already provided the needs for this missionary. The only problem was we were keeping it for ourselves. Now we'll pray. Let's say a prayer of thanks to God for his provision. Go and see what you have. Go and see what God has already provided. Go and see and give." Today we will present our pledges for next year, and we will thank God for God's faithful provision, and we will ask God to bless these pledges and all the gifts that we bring. Your stewardship team has asked you to consider increasing your pledge by 10% over last year. Why? Because we can never rest on our good deeds, but always ask ourselves, what has God provided? What do I have to share? Now, some of us will increase our pledges this year by 10%, and some will increase it by a greater amount, some by a little less. Others will not change the amount of their pledge, and some may decrease their pledge. Each of us is simply asked to go and see what we are able to give. There is no shame in doing what you are able to do, whatever that is. For many years now at stewardship time, Kim and I have searched ourselves and asked what we can give, knowing each year that it would be impossible for us to outdo God in our generosity. We have increased our pledge, some years by less than 10%, some years by more than 10%. It's what we have been able to do. Some are not able to do that. But frankly, some are able to do more than that. It is for each one of us to go and see what God has provided for us to give. And Kim and I have decided this year that we are able to increase our amount by 10% over what we had planned to give because the church asked us to. You've all heard about that beloved church member, someone else. Someone else has been relied upon for many, many years to step up and do what is necessary when others of us don't want to do it, to speak up when others were afraid to fill the need when others didn't care to. Dear, dear someone else. But you know, someone else will not be with us forever, and we must learn to step up in place of someone else. The disciples out there in the wilderness with Jesus and thousands of hungry people were really hoping that someone else would take care of things. But Jesus said to them, "You do it." And then he said, "Go and see what you have." Let us be thankful today, my friends, for the generous way that God has provided for us. And let us, each one of us, give in accordance with the blessings that we have received. All thanks and glory be to God. Amen.